So these are the weeks of the church year, beginning today with All Saints Day, our celebration of All Saints Day. These are the weeks that focus on the last days, anticipating the chaos that will erupt in the final days of this world, the final days before Christ returns to bring this world to a close, to raise the dead from their graves and to judge the living and the dead, and to give eternal life to all who believe in him. These are the weeks of the church year when we especially focus on these things. So we're going to focus on Future Vision 2020. It's anticipating the near future and the year 2020. But it's also wanting to have clear vision, 2020 eyesight about that future. To have a clear vision from God about what does it mean to know something about God's future. It's the kind of future vision that can only come from God's word. Because he's the only one who can truly look around the corner, who can shine his light into the unknown dark future. So we turn to Scripture for Future Vision 2020. And this is an end times, future forward, mission supporting vision series in these few weeks. It's an end times, future forward, mission supporting vision. It's end times, last days, anticipating judgment day, and God ushering in the new world and the new life for his people. It is a future forward kind of focus in these weeks. It's future forward. It's not dwelling in the past, and it's not content with the present, but watching for the Lord to return. How we pray, come, Lord Jesus. We are waiting for the sunrise. We are waiting for Christ to return. It's future forward. But it's also not just being there idly watching, not being idle while waiting for the Lord. It is mission supporting to know these things. It is mission supporting because, God, what have you given us to do as your church, as your people? While we anticipate the end times, while we anticipate your return and this hope of the future, what mission have you given us to do in your name? And to do that mission all the more as we see the last day approaching. The mission is to share the gospel, to share this good news, to tell about the hope that we have even as we see chaos around us, to speak of the hope that we have. So this all comes together as a vision of gospel, good news, joy, hope, a vision cast by God. Future Vision 2020, end times, future-focused, mission-supporting. And so on this day, All Saints Day, November 1st, we move it to this Sunday to celebrate today. On this day, we celebrate those who have gone before us in the faith. We celebrate the saints of long ago who anticipated the Messiah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Old Testament, where they didn't know how God would bring about a plan of salvation, but they trusted in his promise. We think of the saints of old, the disciples, the apostles, the early church, who knew that Christ had risen from the dead and knew that this is our hope. And we think of the saints who have gone before us, our loved ones, who knew Christ as Lord, who knew that he was their only hope for salvation, who died in the faith. And yes, we miss them and we grieve them. And yet we know that they have that same joy and that hope that we do. So we turn to the reading from Revelation today. And that this vision, and we could unpack the vision over and over again. But when I looked at it today, I this week, I was thinking of this. And maybe you can join in with me. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number. Revelation chapter 7 has a very specific number, 144,000. It's a number that has caused a lot of speculation in the church and over the years. A number, and we have to ask, will we be in that number? Oh Lord, I want to be in that number. Will we be in that number, 144,000? And the simple answer is yes. Yes, yes, you're in that number. In fact, if we put all of the vision in context in Revelation, you're in that number, and you're in that number right now. How do I know this? How do I know that you're in that number? Well, look at Revelation chapter 7. What page is it on the bulletin? I need the beginning of it. 9, that's where it begins. You look at verse 3. I know that you're in this number because of how this vision works. Verse 3, another angel shows up on the scene. You see, four other angels in chapter 6 have been given permission by God to bring about destruction and chaos on the earth, to bring his final judgment. It's a vision saying, here comes the destruction. This world will come to a close. Those four angels are ready to go do that work. And these four angels have this mandate to do this. But here in chapter 7, another angel shows up and he calls out with a loud voice, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. In other words, wait. We are still calling people into that number. So the 144,000, this scene is the gathering of the people of God who live upon the earth. Those who trust in the Lord throughout generations. Those who are sealed. And the angel is saying, we still have more work to do. There's more sealing to do. Don't bring the destruction yet. We are gathering. The ones who have been sealed. And sealed, by the way, is another way that Scripture talks about baptism. So all those who are baptized and believe in Jesus Christ, these are the ones who are the 144,000. This is why I'm confident that you are in that number. Through the gift of baptism and a gift of faith, you are sealed. And if you're with us and you're not baptized, but you believe in Jesus, you have this promise also. But let's talk about getting you baptized. But this is why I'm confident. So through baptism and faith, you are sealed. You are in the 144,000. That's what the image means. And yet still, you'll say to me, 144,000 seems like a very specific number and one that seems fairly small when you consider the world population and all the generations. How do we know that we made the cut? Well, first of all, the 144,000 being called by God in the world, this is immediately parallel to verse 9. Look at verse 9. Does that turn the page on page 10? Is that right? It's immediately parallel. John is using Hebrew ways of talking, and he's kind of using a poetic thing to keep these images parallel. 144,000 on the earth are being gathered. And then in the verse 9, he says, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, tribes, people, and languages. The 144,000 and the great multitude are parallel. And now John has moved into a vision of the crowd on the other side of the last day. They are the ones in eternity, and it is a numberless crowd. It is beyond counting. And yet it contains every individual called to faith by God. So the numberless crowd in eternity is parallel with the 144,000. It is parallel, which means there is not a limit. There is not a limit. And you are in that number because of what God has done in you through His Holy Spirit. So then go back to 144,000. It's not meant to be a literal, small, limited group who will be saved. 144,000 is 12 times 12 times 1,000. Check my math. 144,000 is 12 times 12 times 1,000. And you're working with imagery here that all points to a vast, thoroughgoing completeness. Absolutely complete. Not a single one missing. God is at work to seal, baptize, call to faith every person who will be in the great multitude. We could talk for a long time about how God uses all these numbers and symbolism. But this is what I want you to know today. Because this is what is end times, future forward, mission supporting. You have been sealed. In your baptism, sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are His. You are in that number. The 144,000, a vast, complete, uncountable multitude who will be with Jesus for eternity. That's what I want you to know. You could change the song, Oh, When the Saints. You could say, I will be in that number. You are in that number now. So what does this hold for us, an end times, future focused, mission-supporting vision? The vision is of God protecting and gathering His people out of this life's chaos and bringing the multitude to Himself for eternity. What does this vision give us? Well, first of all, the vision is about end times. And we need to acknowledge the truth, the reality of the chaos, the destruction, and the death, and the evil in this world. Lots of people will look for signs. Is the end coming tomorrow? But I think what's more important is just to acknowledge the reality that there is chaos and destruction and evil at work in the world. And as people of God, we can acknowledge that reality. That is the reality. But this vision is also future forward. We get to see a glimpse through God's vision that evil is contained. Yes, evil is active in the world, but it has an end. It has an expiration date. In Revelation, you see evil, chaos, destruction. It's all bracketed by Christ being revealed and by the church celebrating in eternity. Evil takes place in between. It is contained. It is surrounded. It doesn't get the last word. The vision is future forward, looking beyond the finite, the limited space. The vision looks to the triumph and eternal reign of Christ. Finally, the mission, this vision is also mission supporting because we are called to take this good news to one another and to take the good news to others. It is end times, yes, it is last days. It is future forward, but Christ will return. It is mission supporting, share the good news that through Christ there is the promise that we are in that number. I want to read you a story, brief story from Eugene Peterson. You know, he's my favorite writer, pastor, preacher, now sainted. This is from his Revelation commentary. But listen to how the vision transforms this person's life. He says, I was teaching this passage to a small group of people a number of years ago, and one of the members of the group, suddenly realizing its relevance, asked if she could tell her story. Years previously, she had had a nervous breakdown. Her whole life was in chaos, nothing fit together. She could see no meaning in anything. She felt overwhelmed by evil and guilt and sheer bad luck. She went to a counselor and was guided by him to take a good look at each detail that she had lumped into a large pile and called evil. Item by item, the feelings and events and actions were examined. Not one of them, she said, became any less horrible as she did that. But something else happened while she was doing it. She began to discover other items in her life that had been obscured by the great lump of piled up wrongs. Relationships that were delightful, songs that were amazing, sights that were heart-stopping. She began to experience the wonder of her of God at work in her and how she had health. She began to trust her own feelings and how valuable they were. She began to realize the preciousness of other lives and ways that she could appreciate people. She now recognized in Revelation 7 that it came into focus for her. None of the evil was abolished, but was all in a defined perspective. The nameless evils had names. The numberless wrongs were numbered. She was hardly aware of the point at which everything changed. But nothing had really changed. She could just see that they were numbered. But the glories, the hope of God, couldn't be counted. Nothing in her life changed. Everything in her life changed. She saw that evil was contained. But the hope and the joy and the promise of the gospel, that was going to be limitless. And he was bringing that to work in her life. That is our good news. That is our gospel. That is what we get to encourage one another in. That's what we get to share with others in this end times, future forward, mission-supporting vision called the gospel. Amen.